Our second lesson today comes from the Old Testament. I'm reading from the book of Deuteronomy. I'm reading from chapter 4, beginning with the fourth verse. Listen for God's word as it comes to us this day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, a land with fine large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. The word of the Lord. Someone looked at my sermon title in the bulletin today, Sticky Faith, and said, that looks like an item on a menu at that Asian restaurant in Kerrytown. Actually, Sticky Faith is the title of a recent and compelling book, the subject of a lot of articles written in journals, Christian journals across the land, and the basis of a new approach to teaching the faith to young people, to children, to all of us, and something that we're working on incorporating into our curriculum around this church. Sticky faith. It's a phrase that emerged from a comprehensive study done by the Fuller Seminary Institute for Youth, the Fuller Seminary Youth Institute, on teenagers who manage to remain in church through their college years and into their young adult years. As you might guess, this group, young people who stayed connected to their church through college and into their young adult years, young people who did not jettison the Christian faith in favor of Sunday brunch or other cultural activities, young people who stayed connected to their Christian churches in worship and in community in those years through college and immediately after college, this group would be, as you could guess, a minority among their generation. So what the Fuller Youth Institute did was ask these young people hard questions centered on what it was that caused them to stay connected to their church through college and into their young adult years. The results of that study have been published in a book entitled Sticky Faith, Everyday Ideas to Building Lasting Faith in Kids. And that book, understandably, has generated lots of conversations across the broader church. So, sticky faith is not an item on a menu at a restaurant, but a new way to talk about faith that proves far more than superficial, faith that is not peripheral to life, but faith that is well integrated into everyday living. Sticky faith is a way of talking about faith that is reflected in thoughts and actions that touches on all aspects of life, giving depth, giving substance, and focus to who we are and how we relate to the world. Indeed, here is how the authors of the study define sticky faith. Sticky faith is both internal and external. It is part of our inner thoughts and emotions and is also externalized in choices and actions that reflect faith commitment. Sticky faith is a faith that involves praying and reading the Bible as well as participating in community. It means making faithful decisions about risky behaviors and what is important in life. Sticky faith celebrates God's specific care for each person in the local church, and each person in the global church. Sticky faith shows marks of spiritual maturity, but is also always in the process of growth. We don't assume that any of us have a fully mature faith. We know we're always growing, all of us discerning, all of us seeking. It's a process of life with God and a process of life for God. Sticky faith, then, is this kind of integrative existence that becomes a way of life. That is what we want for our children. That is what we want for our young people. That is what we want for our very lives. A faith that's integrated into our lives. A faith that influences all the things that we think about. All the things that we do. A faith that shapes the way we live. And a faith that helps us interact well with the whole world. So where does it come from, this sticky faith? How does it actually emerge? What are the key elements for a faith that gets integrated into our lives? Here are some of the discoveries. First, those young people who remain connected to Christian faith and to their church report that they had church experiences centered in Jesus. That's the essence of the Christian faith. Jesus, His person, His work. What the church has is Jesus, and He is enough. Jesus is what differentiates the church from every other organization. Jesus is why the church matters. If the church matters because Jesus matters, then what the church needs to be about are not more entertaining activities, not more games and not more fun, not just meals and activities, not more programs per se, but more interaction with Jesus. Who Jesus is, what Jesus says, what Jesus asks, how Jesus matters, and how we can best follow Jesus. In the New Testament, the Greek word for faith is pisteuo. Pisteuo is often translated in three different and closely related words: faith, believe, and trust. Now, in English, faith and believe can be helpful terms, but they can also be terms that get us on various journeys. The people at the Faith Institute, the Youth Institute at Fuller, say that faith mostly ought to be translated as trust. Trust. Those whose lives embody a sticky faith tend to be able to trust their lives to God, God's care. Trust that Jesus is real. Trust and move in this direction. Every thought, every action, every decision comes down to this: in whom do I place my trust? Do I trust my own instincts, my own training, my own desires, my own convictions, or do I trust Jesus? We've heard about this in the first lesson today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? No, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? If anyone would become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And those who seek to save their life will lose it, and those who seek to save their life for my sake will find it. What can we do to increase our trust? Can we trust God with our money? Can we trust God with our time? Can we trust God with our relationships that often can get complicated? Can we trust God with the circumstances, the challenges that we're facing right now? Can we? Trusting God, trusting Jesus is how we become disciples of Jesus. We want to keep nurturing that trust. Another thing that the researchers found about sticky faith is involving taking the Bible seriously. The Bible has always been the best revelation of God. The Bible has always been the clearest revelation of who Jesus is. The Bible is where we learn how God works and how Jesus calls us. Those people whose lives reflect an integrative faith are people who have studied and keep studying the Bible. Those with a sticky faith are people who listen and people who learn through small groups and faithful conversations and interactions with other Christians who relate life to God's broad reach of life, who know that their story is lived within God's rich and wonderful story of abiding faithfulness and care. As you can see from the front of the bulletin, and it's on there every Sunday, our church mission statement reminds us that we're called to a new way of living. And that call says we seek to know Christ and make Christ known. Know Christ and make Christ known in downtown Richmond and throughout the world. As we know Christ and make Christ known, we're on the way toward a sticky faith. Perhaps this is a good time to plug what I've already mentioned today, and that is the second course. It launches next week. You've been invited to join in and participate. There are small groups meeting for Bible study. They're happening almost every single day of the week, and they're happening all across the metro area. Our hope is that every one of us will find a place to plug in, to meet, to read the Bible, to think and interact with other Christians, to pray and share life. It's all an attempt to nurture within us, all of us, an integrative faith focused on Jesus, engaged in the Bible, inviting us to grow and think and function in a way that transforms our living and transforms the impact we can have on the city and on the world. This kind of endeavor seeks to move us from membership to discipleship, move us deeply into sticky faith. The third thing that the study found about adults who held on to their faith was that they worshiped regularly. Worshiped regularly with their church family, made up of all generations. These young people were not peripheral to the church, like many youth programs can be. These young people who maintained their faith well into their young adult years all felt a sincere network of relationships with people of all generations, and those relationships blossomed as they worshiped and participated in common life in church community. These young people knew that they had a community of people who knew them personally, who cared about them, who prayed with and for them, and worshiped with them. One commentator notes, too often, youth groups offer more of a Red Bull experience of the gospel, playing on that famous drink in the silver and red can, that famous drink that's full of caffeine and full of stimulants that might keep you going a little bit, give you a bit of a buzz, but won't keep you alive. Too often, youth groups have offered the buzz, but not the bounty of Christian faith and Christian experience. Too often, and many youth leaders have confessed this in this study, in order to be politically or culturally acceptable, we've stripped Christianity of Jesus or transformed into a character that he is not. We've made Jesus wimpy rather than revolutionary, tolerant rather than loving, good rather than God. In lieu of discipling our teens, we've attempted to entertain them. We've tried to make our ministries cool enough so we could compete with other community activities. And yet what we discover about Jesus in the Gospels is that Jesus is a leader worth following and a cause worth committing our lives to. He desires more than just our happiness, and he demands more than our half-hearted allegiance, which speaks not only to the young people, but to all of us. Jesus cares way more than just about our happiness and demands way more than our half-hearted allegiance. See, sticky faith, it emerges when life gets intertwined in the bounty of the gospel. A life of worship where the full Christian community, made up of all ages, just like today, comes together and we journey together where God is real and God is relevant and God is at work, and we celebrate that, and it's where faith grows and faith deepens and faith leads to action and it leads to commitment and it leads to sticky faith. All of this seems very pertinent to me on this particular day, Rally Day, when we launch into our church school year, when we move into full programs and ministry for the year, when we're thinking about sticky faith, not only for our children and for our youth, but for all of us. We're thinking about sticky faith and we want to be working on it. We seek to live as God's faithful people in our frenetic world, and it's hard. We have a challenge. Be people of faith. We seek to trust God and serve God with all that happens to us along the way. And you know what? A lot happens. We seek to trust God and serve God. We are seeking to engage our lives with Jesus' life, to know him and make him known. We are seeking to take the Bible seriously and to worship and serve God in all we do. We're seeking to nurture here sticky faith and encourage each other in the journey that is ours at Second Presbyterian Church and as far as we can go down these streets and across this city and around the world. This is what we want to be about, sticky faith. Sticky faith also goes right along with what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This particular passage, beginning with verse 4 in Deuteronomy 6, is one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. This passage is certainly key in the foundation of the Old Testament. These are the first words that Moses speaks after he shares the Ten Commandments, and these words intend to sum up the Ten Commandments. These words are quoted by Jesus as much as any other words that he quotes. And just to be sure we get it, how important these words are for the people of faith, these words are mentioned with such power and emphasis. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And then, as if we didn't get it yet, to stress the extreme significance of these words, these same words are repeated later in chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, and then in chapter 8, and chapter 9, and chapter 10, and chapter 11, and chapter 13, and chapter 26, and 29, and 30, all in Deuteronomy, and then all through the Scriptures. These words keep emerging. The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. Serve the Lord. Love the Lord with your heart, with all your life, indeed, with all your capacity. That may be the truest translation. Love the Lord with all your heart and your life, indeed, with all your capacity. That's the translation of my former professor at Union Seminary, Dean McBride, who was also a former member of this church. That translation wants to convey that God is the center and the source of our life, our God. And all of life is to be lived with God. Sticky faith. Love the Lord with all your heart, your life, all your capacity. When we love God like that, we also live a certain way, sustained and transformed by a faith that keeps us connected to God and keeps us connected to the things that God cares most about. Keep these words, Deuteronomy says. Recite them to your children. Bind them on your doorposts. Affix them as an emblem. Don't forget. Don't ever forget who you are and what your life is about. Sticky faith. See? Sticky faith. Sticky faith. Friday morning of this week, Ginger and I had to stop by the bike shop. It was a beautiful day, and it was a day off, and we decided to take a bike ride. And we stopped by the bike shop. We have this deal where we bought our bikes that as they, you know, get ridden, the cables lengthen and the gears get a little off. And they have a deal that you just bring your bike in and they'll fix it up so it'll keep you going. Realign, recalibrate, readjust. That's what we took our bikes in to do, to have done, so we can keep on. Realign, recalibrate, tighten up, adjust. Seems to be an apt metaphor for these days as we launch again into church life. Jesus invites us to recalibrate our souls. Who do you say that I am? Deuteronomy invites us to hear and listen and readjust our priorities. Life comes from God, and we're to love God with all that we are. We're invited to reconnect with worship, with Second Sunday lunch today, with the second course where we can discover and deepen and grow and prosper as disciples. We're invited to recommit and recalculate so life and faith can be integrated, and we can become the people God calls us to be. Trusting, faithful, committed disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. May it be so. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, to turn from you is to fall. To turn to you is to rise. To stand and abide with you, that is to dwell forever. We seek that way, following Jesus. Amen.